Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I just feel very grateful that we're all taking the time to show up because at this point in time, there is a lot of fear. I mean, there's always a lot of fear in the world. Who are we kidding? But there seems to be a lot of fear with coronavirus happening, and so this time I feel like is just critical for us to join together, join in right-mindedness, and strengthen the truth instead of siding with fear, because that choice is ours to make. So just a reminder for everyone to press *6 and mute your line if you haven't already done so. I am able to mute from my end, so if I do that, it's just because I can tell that it's your line that's creating some type of static or background noise, and I'm hoping that you'll then be able to take yourself off of mute by pressing *6 again, if that's the case. So before I read the page references, let's begin with a meditation. So if you are able, closing your eyes and turning attention within. And imagining that we are dropping down beneath the surface level thoughts, the surface level fears, the worries, the concerns, because the purpose of all fear, the purpose of all seeming quote unquote threats in the world, the purpose of everything is always to hide the blazing, shining love that is here right now, and that exists within every single one of us. So let us turn our attention right now to that love, to that truth. Simply with the intention to do so. And imagining your mind just sinking down past any layers of fear into the light, into the truth, just opening ourselves up. And resting here. Even if we don't feel anything or notice anything different, we're not looking for bells and whistles type of experiences. It's simply this intention of turning within and turning to the truth that matters. This requires willingness. Without even saying it in words, we've already declared our willingness by turning within. And in our minds, we can just imagine that we are offering our willingness to Holy Spirit with open hands and open hearts, saying, show me the truth instead. Show me who I really am. Knowing that this light is in you in a very literal sense. It's with you all of the time. Even if we're distracted and busy and caught up in our to-do list. And just taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. I'm placing my hand on my heart and giving you a deep bow of appreciation for showing up and for being willing. It helps me. It helps all of us. we help each other. So with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So tonight, we are reading about coronavirus in A Course in Miracles. This section that we're reading does not directly address coronavirus, but it does talk about the toys of fear, which is the subheading in the Circle of Atonement edition. So if you have the Circle of Atonement edition, it's the book with the purple cover, please go to page 883. It's called The Toys of Fear. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 30, part 4. It's called The Truth Behind Illusions. That's chapter 30, part 4, The Truth Behind Illusions. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, this is a black book with white pearls on it. It's chapter 30, part 5. And if you have the Sparkle edition, it is page 30. I'm sorry, not page 30, page 690, chapter 30, page 690 in Sparkle. So in those three editions, it's called The Truth Behind Illusions. In the Circle of Atonement edition, it's called The Toys of Fear. As I opened to this just a short while ago to prepare for our call, I was just chuckling to myself because I feel like it's just talking about what it is that we are all dealing with right now in the world. Many people who feel triggered or fearful of coronavirus, and my hope is that we're going to be very, very comforted by this section tonight. So let's go ahead and dive in. The Toys of Fear, or The Truth Behind Illusions. You will attack what does not satisfy, and thus you will not see you made it up. You always fight illusions, for the truth behind them is so lovely and so still in loving gentleness. Were you aware of it, you would forget defensiveness entirely and rush to its embrace. The truth could never be attacked. And this you knew when you made idols. They were made that this might be forgotten. You attack but false ideas and never truthful ones. All idols are the false ideas you made to fill the gap you think arose between yourself and what is true. And you attack them for the things you think they represent. What lies beyond them cannot be attacked. So what lies beyond the idols, what lies beyond the form of the world that we see with our body's eyes, what lies beyond something like coronavirus, what's beyond all of it is the truth, which is something that can never be attacked. And we knew that. It says we knew that when we made idols. So here again, the Course is saying that we made this. This entire world that we see is an idol. It's a substitution for God. It's a hiding place from God. We came here to forget who it is, the magnificent, eternal beings, the Son of God that we all are. We came here specifically to forget that. One of the reasons, I should say one of the things that's always been helpful to me when something big happens in the world, those events that like feel like they yank the rug out from under you, when there's horrible mass shootings, when there's like an outbreak of coronavirus, when there is, you know, terrorism, when there's war, when the list can go on and on and on. When those things happen, to me, it's so helpful to see it as that form that's happening is shaking us up out of our apathy, out of our dream to say, hey, something isn't right. Something is not right. This is not, you know, something's amiss here. And what's amiss is our perception. What's amiss is our ideas of who we are. What's amiss is our identification. We identify as bodies, primarily in this world. And that is completely false. That's the belief that needs to be undone, is that body identification. Because what we've done, what this is saying, what we knew when we made idols was that the truth couldn't be attacked. We wanted specialness. So what rose, what seemed to arise up between us and the truth is a gap that's not really there. But within this gap is where all the world seems to exist, all the bodies, all the issues, everything. And all these things seemingly rise up in this gap to keep us utterly believing that the gap is real, that the gap is there, and that truth is somewhere else, somewhere, you know, just out of reach. So it's our job in this process of healing to be willing to allow our minds to be freed from fear so we can extend love, so we can begin to see past the form, so we can join with the love in our brothers and close that seeming gap that's not really there. So this is what we're doing tonight. This is what we are diving into, and I just find it to be very rich and very comforting. Before I move on to paragraph number two, any comments or questions or insights? Right. I feel really like, ooh, let's go to chapter two. I'm sorry, paragraph number two, because, yeah, let's just dive right in. Listen to this first sentence. The wearying, dissatisfying gods you made are blown up children's toys. A child is frightened when a wooden head springs up as a closed box is opened suddenly, or when a soft and silent woolly bear begins to squeak as he takes hold of it. The rules he made for boxes and for bears have failed him and have broken his control of what surrounds him. And he is afraid because he thought the rules protected him. Now must he learn the boxes and the bears did not deceive him, broke no rules, nor mean his world is made chaotic and unsafe. He was mistaken. He misunderstood what made him safe and thought that it had left. So another way of stating this, making it relevant to what's happening right now in the world, is that we are constantly looking to plant roots of safety in the world. If I stay home, I'll be safe. If I disinfect everything that I touch, I'll be safe. If I do this, this, and this, I'll be safe. We have all of these rules that we establish for our safety, and then something comes up and it breaks those rules. Why does it do that? Because this is a dream that when we chose to turn away from what makes, from what is sense, which is God, We turned to senselessness. It's as if we pulled a veil down over our eyes, and that veil was chaos. And so in doing so, that's why nothing here is ever consistently true. That's why there's exceptions to everything. The world was built on a foundation that is a lie. So nothing here is going to ever hold up to the test of time, to all, you know, the laws of the world. The only laws, the only safety that we can find is when we start to plant our roots of safety in God. So the degree to which we're rattled by something like coronavirus is a good demonstration, or I'm sorry, a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a barometer of how much we have tried to reestablish our roots of safety here in this world. So if we feel like something is threatening that, oh, wait, I was the one that was misperceiving because I thought my safety was here. Whoops, I was wrong. My safety lies in God and God only. So that's what this is speaking to me at least, that, you know, the rules that the child made for the boxes and for bears have failed him and have broken his control of what surrounds him. He's afraid because he thought the rules protected him. But it goes on to say he must learn the boxes and the bears did not deceive him, broke no rules, ... He was mistaken. He misunderstood what made him safe and thought that it had left. So our safety is not whether or not, you know, coronavirus exists or not, or fill in the blank with all the horrors of the world, you know, terrorism, aging, sickness, conflict, lack. It's not that. What makes us safe is God and God only and planting our roots there.
Corey.
Any comments or questions so far? Yes. Hi, Sue.
Hi. That was excellent. I was going to ask you to explain that about the toys and the I just have to say that was excellent. But you told it was wonderful.
I'm fired up.
Well, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head with that. That just really was. I mean, that was great.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, it's you know, I have to say, part of just the funny thing is that I was on a call earlier today.
The Sunday call.
Yeah, for the Circle of Atonement, they did a little call on coronavirus, and it was funny because they shared some guidance that Helen had taken down when Bill had been afraid of catching the flu and that it might be become an epidemic. And as I was listening to this, I'm laughing because I was like, the guidance that Helen took down for Bill from Jesus is not helpful to me at all. Like, if I'm honest, it wasn't helpful. And, well, that's because that was guidance for Bill. Like, it's not guidance for me. And so what it brought me into was a place of just of reflecting on this and thinking, like, wait a second, you know, what is it that I need to – where do I need to bring my mind to? And, like, ha-ha, I open up to this section, which we're scheduled to read tonight. Like, that just
– That is perfect.
Just, right?
That
it
is
just
perfect.
Really is. So. Thank you, Sue. Let's keep going. So paragraph number 3.
Corinne?
Yes.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I just want to say that Pat and I were also blessed to be on that call earlier today. And I'm so grateful that you shared what you did, that wasn't, you know, like, I don't know if you said you couldn't relate to it or how you put it, but I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, okay, go get a shot and then go get, you know, booster and all that. And that's just not the way I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the call itself was extremely comforting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just so peaceful and loving.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I really enjoyed being part of that. So thank you for getting the word out about that. And now we get to talk about more.
Yeah, we do.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And to anybody listening, if you're interested in that replay, I'm sure they'll let me send it out. So just email me at info@fromanxietytolove.com. Again, that's info@fromanxietytolove.com. And when the replay is available, I'll just send you the link if you want to tune into that. So, yeah, so just actually maybe I'll recap that really quick. The guidance that Helen had taken down, so Bill was afraid of getting the flu and was afraid it could become an epidemic. And we have to remember, he was afraid. So what Jesus was saying through Helen was like, you know, if you think you need a flu shot, go get the flu shot and get a booster if you need it. But that's while still holding in mind that only the truth is true. So what I gathered from that is how I'm always saying, be where you are. So rather than, like, if you're terrified, rather than white-knuckling your way through the terror and saying, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, like, you know, take the Advil if it's the headache, or like, you know, fine, use the Purell, use the hand sanitizer, but do it with Holy Spirit. That's always, always, always what this comes back to, is to be honest about where you are. If the fear is coming up, whatever, be honest about it. Do what you feel you need to do and still take it to Holy Spirit, because otherwise, if we're trying to just force this on an intellectual level, we're going to fall flat on our face. Not to say, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to like get sick or whatever. It's just going to be a strain, and it's not going to be easy. And this is, I mean, I just have found this to be such an incredibly gentle process and pathway. Okay. Thank you for that, Carol. Let's dive into paragraph number 3. The gap that is not there is filled with toys in countless forms. Oops, I'm hearing my echo, so if anybody just came off of mute, I can't tell which number it is. It's a cell phone. If you wouldn't mind muting your line by pressing *6, that would be so helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, perfect. The gap that is not there is filled with toys in countless forms, and each one seems to break the rules you set for it. It never was the thing you thought. It must appear to break your rules for safety, since the rules are wrong. But you are not endangered. You can laugh at popping heads and squeaking toys, as does the child who learns they are no threat to him. But while he likes to play with them, he still perceives them as obeying rules he made for his enjoyment. So there still are laws which they can seem to break and frighten him. Yet is he at the mercy of his toys? And can they represent a threat to him? So your safety, again, is in God. Coronavirus is a blown-up children's toy. Every threat that we perceive, again, aging, sickness, suffering, death, conflict, war, lack, not enough money, the myriad of forms in which problems arise in this world. It says countless forms. The countless forms that arise in the world are simply there, again, to distract us from the truth of who it is that we are. All of these things will, all the things that we look to in the world for safety will fail us. And so again, that's where when things like this happen and we feel shaken by it, it's because we've tried to plant our roots down in the world again. So that's what I take from how it says, you know, it was never the thing you thought. It must appear to break your rules for safety since the rules are wrong. Again, we're looking in the wrong place for our safety. I love this sentence. It says, but you, and you in this edition that I'm reading from is italicized, which means when Helen took it down, it was emphasized, but you are not endangered. We can laugh at popping heads. We can laugh at viruses. We can laugh at whatever that issue is, because we can learn that they are no threat to us. This, again, is reflecting the importance of what it is that we're learning as miracle workers and as course students, which is to see past the picture. There's a line in the manual that says, God's teachers see the dream figures come and go, shift and change, suffer and die, and yet we are not deceived by the forms that the dream may take. So there will be pictures, and very convincing pictures, that seem very tragic and very painful and very real. And yet what it is that we need to do is to bring our minds back to that space that we all joined in at the beginning of the call, because it's from that space that we see. That's the space. That's our spiritual vision. That is how we perceive the truth, and that is where our safety lies. We are not at the mercy of blown-up toys that seem to populate the gap that is not there. Jen, do you have something to say? I just heard your sigh. I think that was you.
I have something if someone else doesn't want to go first. I'm not sure who you were asking, Corinne.
No, I think it was you. Go ahead.
It probably was my sigh. I'll clean it. So as you're reading this, I was brought to a memory years ago, I was up at a grocery store, and it was Halloween time, and they had an aisle full of Halloween masks and really, you know, scary Halloween stuff. And I saw a young couple, I'm assuming they were the parents, I don't know, they were young, and they had a toddler with them. And they took this toddler down this aisle, and this toddler was absolutely terrified and was screaming because of these masks. And the adult that had this child thought it was so hysterical, and they were laughing. And I felt sad for this little child. And as you were reading this, Corinne, it reminded me of what the ego part of me does to me. It walks me down that aisle, and it's doing that now. I'm not scared of coronavirus any more than I'm scared of the flu, but I have some other fears that are as terrifying to me as the coronavirus is to someone else, and as those scary masks were to that child. And I feel like the Holy Spirit in us is having us look differently. We may feel like that child down that aisle, and the ego is laughing at us, and we feel alone and frightened. And the Holy Spirit is saying to me, Jana, they're just masks. They're just toys. You are safe. I am with you. And this one part that comes to me, this he is mistaken what made him safe. I changed it to, I'm sorry, he misunderstood what made him safe. I changed it to, I misunderstand what makes me safe. And I'm in no more danger than that child was walking down the aisle, even though I see these masks and they look scary to me. I have to listen to the inner voice that goes, you are safe.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Jana. Thank you for that. And you are speaking truth when you say you have to listen to that voice. And we get then hooked because it seems like that other voice, you know, those scary masks and that laughter at us can pull us away. But, you know, from that voice that says, I am here, I'm with you. But that is what this is the mind watching that the course is training us. It's to watch our minds, that when we do start to veer off, that we choose to come back to that inner voice that is telling you clearly that you are safe and that the Holy Spirit is with you. So I'm joined with you in that truth. Thank you, Jana.
Corinne, I'd like you to say, I want to join you in that too with Jana. But the other point I wanted to make too was those last two questions that it has at the end of that paragraph. It says, yes, is he at the mercy of his toys and can he represent a threat to him? I think we could answer those questions both yes and no, depending on which voice we're listening to, whether it's the Holy Spirit or the ego.
Yeah.
And we got to just remember to let the ego go and listen to the Holy Spirit and know, yeah, we're safe. And then like with Bill, you know, if we don't feel safe, well, go ahead, take that pill or do whatever you need to make you feel safer. But realize that it's not the pill, but your belief.
That was so helpful, John. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I can remember the last outbreak, well, not the last outbreak, I guess, but like a while ago, this is probably around 2010, maybe. I was still, it had to be 2009, somewhere around there, maybe before then, when the H1N1, I think it was swine flu outbreak that was happening. I remember being petrified and just frozen in fear and sitting in my car outside of a clinic that was giving out vaccines, which I was eligible for because I was a healthcare worker. But I was just as terrified of getting a vaccine as I was of the flu. And so, or whatever, but yeah, the, I guess it was a form of the flu. Yeah, swine flu. And I was paralyzed in fear. And finally, I was just like, what, like, you know, this is not working. Like, I just need to, okay, I'm accepting that I'm terrified of both of these things, but I need to move. I need to start moving. I need to do something. So I ended up getting the vaccine because I was frozen in terror, but I was willing to look at it with Holy Spirit. I was willing to take it to Holy Spirit, just like you so beautifully said, John, that if we, you know, get frozen in that, then we do what we feel we need to, but we can do it with Spirit and trust that we're repurposing it in the process. And I love what you said about those two questions. How we answer them depends on which voice we're listening to. Oh, wow. Thank you both so much for sharing.
Hey, Corinne, it's Blanca.
Hi, Blanca.
It's funny because I'm definitely a bit worked up about the coronavirus, but kind of taking a slower, like I'm not panic shopping, but today I went online and I bought a bunch of supplements. So I feel like I have my foot in both, kind of like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like I need to do things to prepare. Mm-hmm. And I am scared, but I'm still going to work. I'm still, you know, animal massage therapist. So I'm touching people all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my fears are more that nobody's going to want to get a massage because, you know, and then I won't be able to pay my rent. And so it's kind of crazy because I, on the one hand, it's like I'm kind of, at other times, I'm just kind of laughing at all this. But it's, you know, and I'm here and I'm listening to this. So I feel like I'm in the Holy Spirit's camp, but I'm also in the fear camp at the same time and, you know, kind of prepping or whatever for this. So I don't know. I just feel like there is definitely an underlying anxiety that it's hard when the whole world is responding to it.
Right,
Everywhere you go, it's what people are talking about, and including myself, you know?
Right.
So,
and again, that's where, like, your honesty is super important, and it's okay. Like, you know, when we're seeing ourselves be fearful and talking to the Holy Spirit, what's that a reflection of? That's a split, right? And we have a split mind right now, the Course is teaching us. Like, our mind is still split, but we're slowly learning how to put both feet in the Holy Spirit's canoe, the Holy Spirit camp, and to really be anchored in that. But until we're there, we're going to fluctuate, and it's okay. A happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. So we, again, do what we feel inclined to do. But the most important piece is that we're still talking to Holy Spirit. We're still turning it over. We're still acknowledging our fears and being willing to just recognize this as part of our learning. And you know what you said about, like, the whole world responding? That statement just strikes me because, you know, it's true. The whole world is responding, and there is a whole, like, it's really clear right now how much fear is in the world. But that's always there. It just goes underground, you know, because things seem okay on the surface. And yet that the world is built on fear. It's built on this seeming gap that's not really there. So it's actually a thing, you know, being able to see that fear at this time. When we see it arise, we don't feel guilty about it. And again, we take it to Holy Spirit. We choose to take it to Holy Spirit and ask for that miracle instead. Because if we have those moments of fresh air, if we have those moments of right-mindedness, that does so much for the healing of all of us. And that, again, is our job as miracle workers. It doesn't mean we're not going to fluctuate. But there's a quote, I can't think of exactly what it is, but it speaks to the importance of the miracle worker freeing our own mind from fear through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's help, and that touches more than we can possibly comprehend. That has a huge, huge impact on the healing of the world. So no guilt, it's okay, and keep talking to Holy Spirit, who will show us the way through.
So Corinne, this is Teresa. Could I share?
Sure.
Hello?
Go for it.
Okay. So I just turned 65 in February, and I haven't had a flu for probably 3 or 4 or 5 years, many years. And I woke Wednesday with a high fever, body aches, headache, sore throat, you know, the whole thing, the whole flu, all the flu symptoms. And I'd had a flu shot in November. And, you know, so I didn't know if I was dealing with coronavirus or just a flu. And throughout the 3 days, I was very, very ill. I've just actually started feeling a little better today. But I wanted to share one thing. I was taking Tamiflu to help minimize the symptoms and to make the duration shorter. The idea, anyway, is that it's a viral medication of some kind. And then I was also taking Tylenol and ibuprofen alternating. But my fever kept spiking up, and my fever would not go down, even when I had Tylenol in my system or if I had ibuprofen. I just could not get the fever to break. And so I'm, you know, lying in bed, and I'm feeling miserable. And I just started talking to Holy Spirit and just asking Holy Spirit to help me remember that my body is really nothing, and that what I'm experiencing is really nothing, and to just try and help me go into a place where I could find some peace and comfort through God. And what ended up happening during that time when I was praying so intently, because I was feeling so miserable, my body just stopped hurting.
Mm.
And it was a truly miraculous moment for me personally.
Mm.
And you know, any other year that I might have gotten a flu, it would have just been a flu, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this year, with just, like you were saying, you can't turn on the news or you can't do anything without hearing about the extreme panic. And I didn't think of myself as being panicked about it, but having had the flu, not knowing, not being tested, you know, I didn't know what I was dealing with, and I didn't know for 3 days, I didn't know if I was going to be getting better or not, or if I was going to have to end up going to the hospital. And so I just wanted to share. I don't usually share because I learned so much from just listening, but it just seemed relevant tonight to share that I've actually kind of been through that personally and in a very physical way these last few days, and that Holy Spirit really came into my heart and eased the pain that the medicine couldn't ease. So thank you for letting me share.
I'm so glad you spoke up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just feel like your story is just such a reality check that, like, you know, people get sick and we get sick and we can still talk to Holy Spirit and miracles can still happen and we can be okay. So it's just your story is just really, really a nice, refreshing one. So thank you. Thank
you. Well.
But, you know, I think we also have to think of that as the most natural response from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we need to expect that.
Yeah, if miracles do not occur, something has gone wrong.
Something's gone wrong.
Miracles
so
are
our expectations
natural.
Are really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, what teacher are we looking to? So if we're looking to the ego and to the body and the safety of the body, we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're blocking it. It's, again, it's ego or spirit. We fluctuate for sure, but which voice are we choosing? And so when we're listening to Holy Spirit, those miracles are natural.
Corinne?
I don't know who I just heard. Did I hear Sue?
This
did
is
I hear
Sue.
Deidre?
I'm sorry. I'm
and did
sorry.
I hear Tanya? I'm just taking a list.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'll go last, or if at all.
Okay. So Sue, Deidre, then Tanya.
Okay. I'm just reminded of an experience I had. We have to sort of remember, I forget this, I forget it constantly, that the miracle does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle only removes the false, what's covering the truth. So when we're asking for the Holy Spirit to do something, to change anything, that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
What really happens is the untruth, the false,
mm-hmm.
is lifted, and the truth becomes evident, because God didn't create sickness. He didn't
mm-hmm.
create anything. So when we get in line with that and ask for the truth of the situation, whatever it might be, then the miracle can appear.
Yeah, thank you for that very important clarification, Sue. And I feel like I actually wrote down Teresa's words, and I feel like Teresa's words reflect exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
She said, help me remember my body is really nothing. So it's
yeah.
that recognition. Yes, 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 yes. So thank you for articulating that. That's super important point. Deidre.
Corinne.
Oh, yes.
This
that?
Is Carol.
Hi.
Hi. And this is a great call. I love this section about the bears and the boxes. And I just, you know, the ego seeks to rattle me too about the coronavirus. And yet I find the lesson running through my mind, reminding me that there is nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also reminded that this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a section in the manual that kind of correlates to what you're talking about here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just read a couple sentences here, a few, it says,
sure.
It says, it's page 17 in the, you know, the Foundation for Inner Peace version. It says, first, it is obvious that decisions are of the mind, not of the body. If sickness is but a faulty problem-solving approach, it is a decision. And if it is a decision, it is the mind and not the body that makes it. The resistance to recognizing this is enormous because the existence of the world as you perceive it depends on the body being the decision maker.
Mm.
So.
Mm. That's great. That's for everybody. That is the section, How is Healing Accomplished, in the Manual for Teachers. And that's a great section to read right now, too. There's the section that starts with the perceived purpose of sickness. So thank you for that, Carol. That's a great reference.
Yeah, I thought it kind of went along with, you know, what your the section you're reading here this evening.
It does. That's great. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Great. So, Deidre, you're next.
Yeah. Hi, Corinne. I just was relating to Blanca and what Blanca shared. I'll just share a funny story because I'd been kind of going along and not really feeling triggered at all by the coronavirus. And then one day I was waiting for a particular program to come on television that I enjoy watching. And I happened to turn on the television right at the time where the news was reporting all this panic around the virus. And I was listening to the news, and I could see my mind kind of having these little moments of self-doubt where you're kind of slipping down the slippery slope of, you know, that that happens with the ego. And I was like, and then I started to laugh. I literally bust out laughing. And I asked Jesus what to do. And Jesus literally said in my mind, turn off the TV. So I did. But I share the story because I think it's important to remember that it's okay, like, to have these little temptations, as Robert Perry calls them. Like, we're gonna get tempted. That's the whole mm-hmm. reason we're part of the dream, is that we chose this. Mm-hmm. It's just to remember the truth. And so I feel called or moved to just invite everyone that's in the group and that's on the call. Like, when I imagine what it is like if every single one of us took a stand for truth, meaning, you know, minds are joined. We're all joined. And so when I listen to the news, it's no wonder people are terrified, yep. right? Mm-hmm. But if we mm-hmm. put our, like, foot down and say, no, I'm not going down that route. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going.
Deidre, this is exactly why I have not been, I have,
yeah.
have been totally free of fear, because I haven't been watching the television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it comes on, if I'm watching a program and for some reason there's a mention of it, I turn it off. I go to the next mm-hmm. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that.
Exactly.
And Deidre, it's
but
so
I do think on some level, though, that you have to have that deeper sense of truth, knowing that we are perfectly safe in this world.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a combination of a lot, but I do think it's very helpful to really not put yourself in that position and listen to this stuff. You want to get in the car and the radio comes on, I turn the radio off. I just turn it off.
Yeah.
Not doing
and that's
it.
That's not to say if you feel afraid, you know, get the shot or use the mask.
Yes, exactly.
Do whatever you need to do, but if you're in a place where your foundation of truth is strong enough, you know, turn off the news, you know.
Don't be tempted. Okay, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deidre.
Thank you, Deidre. Thank you, Paula. Yeah. I just want to add one thing, and then I want to turn it over to Tanya. I just want to throw out there for everybody right now to please envision. I don't even know how many people, a lot of people joined. There's 20 of us on the line right now. I would like you to imagine all of us in a circle right now, with the willingness to take a stand for the truth. We're not doing this alone. We're not doing this alone by ourselves or alone as a group. We are doing this with Jesus. We are doing this with the Holy Spirit. We are taking a stand for truth. So please, if you find yourself starting to feel like you're standing on shaky ground at any point in time, please remember that who we are doing this with. We are taking a stand for truth, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, all of us together, joined in holy relationship, willing to close the perceived gap that we seem to see, where these scary little children's toys seem to populate. So that's just an image that struck me as Deidre was sharing, and I wanted to throw that out there. Tanya.
That, what you just said was kind of along the lines of what I was going to say. I was just going to say something really quick, which was when I'm you know, trying and intending and focusing on God truth instead of illusion, and I am falling short, I no longer let that discourage me. I just then ask Jesus to do the rest for me, to do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever I'm, you know, feeling doubtful or afraid, or I just say, oh, Jesus, can you step it up here?
Yeah.
For me, please.
Yep. step in and lift me up. I'm ready to be lifted.
Yeah, because I don't have to do it alone. That was
right.
A huge breakthrough for me is, I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to get this right out of the gate.
Right. Oh, perfect. Thank you, Tanya. I'm feeling moved. We're going to end with the next paragraph. So I'm going to read one more paragraph, then we'll finish up the section next week. This is a great paragraph. So I'm on paragraph number 4. And just try to let the meaning of these words, the meaning of these sentences sink in. Reality observes the laws of God and not the rules you set. I'll read that one more time. Reality observes the laws of God and not the rules you set. It is his laws that guarantee your safety. All illusions that you believe about yourself obey no laws. They seem to dance a little while according to the rules you set for them, but then they fall and cannot rise again. They were but toys, my child, so do not grieve for them. Their dancing never brought you joy. But neither were they things to frighten you or make you safe if they obeyed your rules. They must be neither cherished nor attacked, but merely looked upon as children's toys without a single meaning of their own. See one in them and you will see them all. See none in them and they will touch you not. In other words, see one meaning in a children's toy in the world, and there's going to be, you know, we're going to get lost in the dream. See no meaning in them and they will touch you not. Isn't that a great paragraph to end with for tonight?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Any final comments or questions?
Joyce.
Hi, Joyce. You stayed till the end.
I am here. I got a phone call, but I took it and I just came back. Okay.
Oh, good.
All right. I just want to reiterate what you just said. It makes so much sense, and I just love it, and I think it's wonderful. It says, neither cherish these things nor attack it. I like that. I think that's in that third line you read, or fourth line from the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth line from the bottom. It say neither cherish nor attack, but merely look upon as children toys without a single meaning of their own. Thank you so much, Corinne. This was such a wonderful topic tonight.
Oh, I agree. And I just have to, again, thank you, Joyce, for highlighting that, because I agree with you. That just speaks to the, like, the utter neutrality and, like, you know, we need not attack it. We need not cherish it. It just falls away. It's nothing. And we can see it for the nothingness that it is when we are turning to Holy Spirit and learning to use our spiritual vision and siding with the right mindedness. I just have to give a shout out to Jesus again, because it's just so funny to me that, like, this is the section that we're reading tonight. It is just so incredibly perfect and helpful. So I just have to really emphasize that, because this is what we were supposed to read, and yet it is just so relevant to what's happening right now. So
that's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love you all so very much. And please, please, this image, just as Jesus in the Course says, imagine taking my hand. Imagine holding Jesus's hand as we walk through the fog with him into the light that the fog seemingly is obscuring. That image of all of us joined in a circle with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, taking a stand for truth. That is no idle fantasy, as he says in the book. That is no idle fantasy. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm saying this, because as we strengthen our right-mindedness, as all of us join together in right-mindedness, We are healing the world. We are undoing fear for all of us and bringing that awareness of love's presence closer to every living being on this planet. So, and in all the multiverse.
Yay. Oh,
whatever this all is. Yay.
Corinne, where can we find that image to read more about it in the course? That is so beautiful.
The fog?
Yes.
The thought, I'd have to find the reference. So okay. If you can email me, I can look it up for you.
You got it.
Yep. No problem. Awesome. I love you all. Have a great week, and I look forward to connecting again next Sunday. Love you all.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Corinne.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Corinne. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Mm-hmm.